reason on that like that? Okay. Well, here we are again. It's good to see so many people here today. But this trip was a little unusual compared to the last few I've been on because, things didn't go our way. But we have to trust and believe that God was in control. And He made it more clear to us on this trip than the others that were everything went well and everybody was happy and everything went smooth. Well, and this time we experienced some different situations, and when we were going through them, we didn't realize what was going on. But now we can see how God was in control, and it seems He wanted His Word to get to places that normally it wouldn't get. And pick it up. Okay. 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 You can tell I'm really experienced with these kind of things. Okay. So anyway, I'll talk about it a little bit, and I just have a few notes here, and hopefully we'll be able to see, or you'll understand a little bit more about what goes on these trips and how God works on these trips. And to start out with, it's a lot of traveling to get to India. And especially the city we had to end up in to start our trip with. We're probably traveling for 24, 30 hours constantly. So you're pretty tired. So when you finally get to your destination, you don't feel like doing much, but yet you do. And let me find my few notes here. I know they're here somewhere. Anyway, we set out to the town of Sitara, which is first we had to fly into Bombay, which is Mumbai now, and take a plane out of there to the town of Pune, and then take another plane to Sitara, which we planned on being there, according to our schedule, 3 or 4 days. So we got there and really went out a little bit in the evening, and the reception was good, and we rested. And our first morning out on the streets, well, the reception was great. The people were really gracious and received the word. But then there were a few people that were trying to stop us from distributing the material. Well-dressed English-speaking men and all. So we came back to our hotel for lunch, and just about everybody had distributed all their tracts too. And we have lunch when we can, and we plan. Well, in this case, it's pretty hot there, so a lot of times we'll take a little break after lunch, and then you want to go out on about 2, 3 o'clock and stay out till 6 or so and try to be out on the streets when it's busy and when the people are coming to and fro from work or whatever. And here we have our lunch, and rather than going back out on the streets for the afternoon, well, the police came and took us out to jail. They took us out to the town jail, and this was the very first afternoon. But they took us out, each and every one of us. I think there was 16 of us. And they were trying to say that we were doing something illegal. But as the trip went on, it came down to the Hindu people over there didn't want to hear the gospel. We were approached by many. They read the tract and they didn't like to hear it. And they I guess are pretty powerful in the political arena there, and they wanted to stop us from distributing. So we went over to the jail, and we were there a few hours in the afternoon of the first full day. And it was really something. Because a lot of the men and the police that seemed angry and all before they took us there, they were. By the time we left, a lot of people had gotten the gospel there, and they really knew what we were in town for. And we distributed tracts there, and many men witnessed to the commissioners and the chief of polices and all of that. And we were just calm about the whole thing. The Lord had blessed us with a special calmness and a joy where we took it as an opportunity to witness, and we read scriptures, and everything was very peaceful, and we sort of felt good about it. Funny thing was, in the middle front of this police station was a big dove, a big gold dove with a olive branch hanging out of its mouth. And I said, you know, here we are being bringing the gospel there. And I looked out the window. I said, you know, look at that. You know, it was about 7,000 years ago. Noah let that dove out of the ark. And then look up. He ended up over here. But anyhow, so... And so they said, okay, everything's okay. We understand. Everything's fine. Go back to your hotel. And you can stay. So, fine. A few people went out in the evening, just walking distance from the hotel. And we said, well, okay, everything's fine. We get up in the morning, lo and behold, and they say, well, everybody just stay in their room because they're still hashing things out. Things happened, I guess, during the night in the political realm again. And they said, now the management of the hotel said, you got to leave. You got to leave town. You can't stay here anymore. So whatever transpired overnight, we don't know, but it couldn't have been anything good. So anyway, that was it for Satara. So our 3-day stay went to one. So we're headed to Kolhapur, which is another town, and a bus ride. As you could see in some of them pictures, we were on a lot of buses. That was the kind of buses we used to travel. And we said, well, that's okay. We'll just go up to the next town, and we'll just have to stay there longer. You know, and there's we don't know what's going on, but man, we trust the Lord that He does. And He's orchestrating these things, and He's calling the shots now, and not us, because our plans already were confounded in a few days. So we go to Kolhapur, and it was fine. It was fine. We had a nice place to stay, much better than the first place, and the staff at the hotel and all were very, very gracious to us, very nice. I mean, I haven't been waited on like that in my whole life, you know, the way they took care of us there. It was great in that respect. And we got our assignments, which we go out in this case with 3-person teams. And each one gets an assignment to go to a certain part of town. And you go there, and if the reception is good, well, you'll stay. If it's bad, well, then you look around for more people, but you want to stay in the area you were assigned to so you don't start interfering with other groups that might be in the same city but on another part of town. So we're pretty well organized. And the first day was fine, and some good news is we went to our destination and ended up at a couple of colleges, and we were distributing tracts and Bibles throughout the college grounds and through the buildings, and no one trying to stop us or anything or restrict us. And it was nice because a lot of the students spoke some English. So one thing I want to say, this particular trip, there seemed to be a lot more time for a lot of personal one-on-one witnessing and testifying to people that spoke English, which doesn't always happen. When you're in a real busy place, a lot of times it's just handing out tracts, and there isn't much conversation. But in this case, there was, and it seemed to be the way it was going to be. And so that went well. And then the second day there, no one had a problem. And then it seemed the second day there, one of the teams was confronted by a man and tried to tell them to stop and wanted them to go to the police again. And so they obliged and things were happening with other teams around town, and we weren't aware of what was going on with the other team. But this, I'm just going to read this little report. This is what my roommate wrote. I guess he wrote it in my, he must have been on this team. He wrote it in my book. He was looking for a paper, and he never took it out. This was Monday, November 17th. In the morning, our three-person team went to a busy traffic circle where six roads met. We positioned two of the team members on opposite sides of the busiest street, while the other team members strolled about, diligently distributing the Does God Love You tract. We continued the distribution and at a fairly rapid pace for about an hour. The reception rate was very good, with not many people refusing them. All of a sudden, a well-dressed businessman approached one of our team members and demanded that he stop distributing the tracts and leave the area immediately. The man told our team member he was breaking the law by distributing the tracts, which is not true, as we later confirmed by a police captain. He said that he would call the police if we did not depart. Our team member said he would leave as the boisterous man was, causing quite a crowd of onlookers, 50 or so, get on one of the other team members, and we went to the opposite side of the street. We looked for the third person, and we couldn't find him. But then they took us out to the police station, while we were there, I guess, let me see what he has here. But after a short time, they insisted we go with them now. One of the policemen stayed and brought the third team member a while later. Anyway, this is how all this stuff started. I can't read it, understand his writing here too good. But they were trying to stop us in the second town also. But it started real slow. But before all this happened, we managed to distribute a lot of tracts. So we had three full days in Kolhapur. And again, the distribution was really good, and the people were gracious. But a lot of the personal testimony was with the Hindu people. And in one instance, I had a man approach me. We were by one of their temples, and he brought the tract to me. And he said, what is this? He said, you know, I read the tract, and it's pretty good, he said. But he got to the ninth question, which says, are you saying that there is no way to escape hell except through Jesus? What about other religions, including many that profess faith in Christ? Will their followers also go to hell? And I said, well, go on. I said, and your answer is you're reading right from the Word of God, the Bible. And he seemed really perturbed and got real mad. He didn't want to accept the Word. And they became highly insulted in the fact we're telling them that their gods are not even any gods. They're just temple gods and made of clay and stone and things like that. So he didn't like that, and he ripped up the track and threw it on the ground in front of me and left. So this was brewing for a little while for these first few days. All around town, we just didn't know the severity of it. But to give you a contrast, right after that man had left me, God was using us in a way to where another nice man comes up and requests the Bible. So you pull out a Bible out of your pack and hand him the Bible, and he claims he read the tract, and he seemed very interested. And in the process of talking with him and handing out tracts as the people are walking by, going in and out of the temple, he's holding the Bible, and at the same time, a few men gather around him And the next thing you know, you're witnessing to him and you're handing out tracts and he's asking you about Christ and the Bible and everything. And the men around you want to know what's happening so he could speak English. So he's interpreting what you're saying. So God was using us a lot in that way, it seemed, on this trip. There was many opportunities like that. Besides people coming to the Bible studies and things like that. So things were going well until the third morning out in Kolhapur. The whole day went good. We had three very good days there. And then one evening, I guess, they just decided to pick us all up all around town. And it got a little hectic there for a while, but they had the police pick us up. And what the police told us was they had to take us into jail. They couldn't charge us with anything. We weren't doing anything wrong. But they told us that the Hindus were really angry and they were threatening violence, so they put us in the jail for our own protection, which was true, and it came to that point. But we thank God again through all of this. No one seemed to even be worried about it. You know, God was with us in a way where our witness was very, very strong, it seemed. And when we prayed on this trip, and while all this was going on, everything seemed more intense. Our prayers seemed more intense. Our fellowship was more intense. You know, we knew we were up against resistance, but we had that peace of God in us and calmness that it didn't seem to matter. We were there to do what we were going to do, but yet we couldn't disobey their direct orders not to go on the streets. But we just had such a calmness about us and peace. Nobody was even excited about it. And we just went on with everything else normal, except we couldn't go out on the streets. So God opened up other doors. We're asked to get his word out and distribute the tracts. And let me look at some notes here. So all in all, a lot of tracts have gotten out at this point in time. And even though the time was limited to distributing on the streets, we still had distributed 150,000 tracts and over 1,000 Bibles in 3 different languages and a real lot of family radio materials and Is the Church Dead books, the Wheat and Tares books we had with us. And we have to believe that we were on a very important mission, because there was even church people there that were coming to us. They've never heard this message, and maybe they never would. So we have to believe that we had a more important mission on this trip than just distributing tracts, because God was bringing people to us that were very inquisitive and requesting a lot of material. And they were saying, well, I want some to distribute to my friends, or I'm going to take them to church even and give this out. And we were prepared, I guess, for that with the literature we had and all. So we know that this message of the gospel has been in every city we've been to. And God did a lot of it. The people did a lot of it themselves, whether they realize it or not. Because of these disturbances and these circumstances, the tract became very popular in every city. You know, we didn't have to spend that much time there. So then we had to, it was doing it by itself. God, we believe, has orchestrated these situations so that he can do his work. So, and we were only supposed to go to those 2 cities. So here we are with, we can't go out on the streets here anymore either. So we're confined to the hotel. And the next day we rented a couple of jeeps. And we went to a couple of outlying cities, just traveling all day. Stopping here, we'd see a little busy town. We'd stop for, we'd say, okay, go back to the vehicles in a half an hour. And everybody would go out, distribute tracts. But it seemed like wherever we went, they had already known about us because it was in the local papers and everything, and they just had a network, I guess, and they didn't like us distributing tracts. But in these other towns, there'd be train stations, so you'd go down the train of cars and full of people and hands out the windows and you'd hand out all the tracts and materials. So you might have only been there for a half an hour, but a lot of tracts would go out, and they were going out in places that were really out of the way, or who knows where those tracts were going on those trains. You know, they're going to all different parts of the country. So it was different situations as far as the distribution went, but the distribution was going on. So we did that one day, and we got away with it one day. And I don't think there would be a cab driver in town the next day would want to take us anywhere, because nobody wanted to associate with us too much. So we said, well, we'll go to Pune. We had to go back there anyway. And now we can see for sure that whatever plans we had didn't matter. We're going somewhere else. We're going to a city that wasn't even on the list. And when we got to that border crossing, in some of the pictures you can see policemen and all, they were waiting for us there. They called ahead by radios, and they wanted us to sign some papers not to distribute anything in this city. So we didn't want to do it. We didn't do it. Our leaders met with the county commissioners and all, and we came up with a deal. As long as we're not out on the street distributing the material, there wasn't any threat of violence, because the Hindus already threatened them there too. They were going to cause trouble if we were allowed to do that. So they said, okay, well, you can go to institutions and hospitals and any private institution, and if they give you permission to distribute your material and your Bibles, well, that's fine. So that was our agreement with the city council and all of that. So we went out the next day as teams with a couple of Bibles and our tracts to hospitals, different institutions, different schools, and we got permission to go and distribute our material there. So we would come back, take the team, and go do that. So that was really a blessing, because the material was going out, and especially this big hospital we were at, we just had free run of the place, and the people were from all over the country. They let us even walk through the wards in the hospital and give the patients tracts and the beds and everything. And it was just such a busy place, and there was no resistance there other than meeting people, asking questions, asking about the gospel, asking about what we're doing here and everything, which again presented a lot of opportunities to witness on a one-to-one basis. And lo and behold, it turned out that we were out distributing every day, not out on the streets, but the tracts and Bibles were still going out. And it was a real blessing. And right in the one of the, well, on these trips anyway, one of the leaders that writes the reports asked that some, if anything unusual happens, write a few notes down, and he may use it in a letter. And so we got to this town of Pune, which was our last town where we stayed the rest of the trip, and did our distribution in that manner. But people were coming to us. We believed the Lord sending them to us, very interested in what we had to say and what we were distributing. And even though at times we'd say, well, what are we going to do with all this? We're still lugging all these Bibles around and everything, and the boxes are busting apart, and we're retaping them up and traveling from bus to bus and town to town. But I wrote a little thing up here. One incident right in the hotel we were staying at. And I don't know if, I think part of it went in one of the letters, but I don't know where the reports are even. When we arrived at Pune a couple of days ago, we still had a large amount of Bibles and tracts and other family radio pamphlets, etc., to be distributed. We were pondering and praying that God would open doors to help in the distribution process because we were not allowed to distribute anything at all out on the streets. So this is just one little door that God has opened for us right in the very hotel we are staying in. And I wrote this myself. I experienced this. As I was waiting by the elevator to go to my room, a woman approached me and introduced herself, went on to give a brief testimony of when God had saved her back in 1986 when she was in Iran. She asked me if we can give her some Bibles and some other English materials that we still had. By the way, she spoke very good English, which is always a joy to meet someone on these trips that can speak our language, especially when they are also a brother or sister in the Lord. This woman works in the housekeeping department of this hotel and has been putting Bibles in the rooms of the hotel and then replacing them as the guest would take them with them. She told me that she had already read the new Does God Love You tract and fully agrees with it. So we were able to give her a box of 36 Bibles that she will distribute right here in the hotel. I guess we can call her Mrs. Gideon, I put in there. She had her own little ministry there, you know, and we just helped her out by donating some Bibles to the cause. She also requested some in English and Hindi languages. We made sure to place a tract or two inside each Bible also, which we started doing on these trips in the Bible distribution. We'd make sure there's tracts to go along with them so these people can get right to God's salvation plan. So this is just one of the ways our Lord is using us to distribute His precious gospel to the people here, even though we are not allowed on the streets. God's word is being spread throughout the area as He opens the doors. Besides, we weren't even supposed to be here. Praise God. We are all grateful that He is leading us around this country and is in full control. We didn't really know what was going to happen from one day to the next, but things were falling into place faster than they were falling out of place. It was strange, you know. We had a trust in God. We really did. He put us in places where we just had to, and he proved faithful and true in every situation. And just when we think there, we wonder, well, why this and why that? The next thing you know, doors are opening or people are coming to the Bible studies. Even when we couldn't go to them, He was sending them to us. I got a few more notes here. I may touch on a couple of highlights. If anybody has any questions pertaining to anything I'm talking about or anything you might want to know about the trip or the trip procedures, just don't be afraid to ask.
Not.
I wouldn't say that. It's hard to say that because we don't know what God's going to do. We know that we were there and sent there to bring the gospel. Sometimes you have to look at it like, well, even the angels in heaven rejoice when just one sinner is saved. Even if it was for just one soul, it was all worth it. Because through it all, God kept us all perfectly safe. Nobody got hurt. It never got to violence. So everything that was happening, whether we realized or not, was really for our own good and for God's glory. And it definitely wasn't the way we planned it. So we give God the honor and the glory for that.
Muslims or
No, this was more than that. This was Bajrang Dal. It's a worldwide international Hindu organization that was trying to shut us down. They're responsible for a lot of... Oh, yeah, I should. Oh, the question was... I forgot.
I found it remarkable and puzzling as to why the gospel, it seemed all of a sudden is being reacted to with hostility, when I heard before, previously, that Hindus find Christianity just another, Jesus just another God among their pantheon beliefs.
Yeah, the question was asked that they found it remarkable why the Hindus would react to Jesus in such a way because of all the gods they have, and they don't really take partiality in any particular one, I guess. Well, I guess I can say is we are bringing them the true gospel. And it wasn't until he read that question number 9, I believe it is, on the track, which is insinuating to them that none of their gods are any good. And we're... Yeah, yeah. So that's... A lot of them were reading the tracks. I'm sure they might have even studied them before they got grouped up and got serious about trying to get us out of town. But... You know, the Word of God really penetrated them. And all we can do is even pray for that man that ripped that track up. Because who knows, he may be one of God's elect. There was many times you had to look at these people, and especially some were at the verge of real violence on the street. You have to think about the Apostle Paul, you know, on the road to Emmaus. Or Damascus, when how God saved him. You know, we just have to trust in God that we're bringing His word there and He's going to save His elect. And that's what was happening. But that's it. When they read that tract and they're told that their gods are not gods at all and Jesus Christ is the only God and Savior, well, that's what happens. But... That was just one little instance. And what I want to say here. Well, Gary, you had a question?
Yes, with the popularity.
I repeat it. Okay. Oh, you put that up there, okay.
The popularity of the United States isn't at an all-time high right now. Do you think that possibly part of the backlash was because you were American? Did you hear any remarks or anything?
Yeah, that was sort of... That popped into the picture every now and then because naturally, well, we do stand out. And it could be for a lot of political reasons a lot of politics involved, the elections going on, and whatever. We just tried not to talk about those issues because that could go on and on. But we know that we were bringing the true gospel, and there was resistance, but we have it here too. You know, we talked about your question, like it could be this, could be that, but... What does it matter? You know, what does it matter what the politicians are doing? What does it matter what the Hindus are doing in their respect? What really mattered was that those towns that we were in will never be the same because the true gospel was brought there. And there was plenty of tracts that went out. And by all of these things, it just drew more attention to that. But back to your question about as far as us being Americans, yeah, I think that's in every country, though, because you're just like stand out. You're just strange to them. Here we have all nations. Here all kindred's tongue, so to speak, in our country. We're used to seeing each other. We're all different colors and all. But when you're in a country like that as an American, you are really a standout because you even have little children coming up to you and with the track and wanting you to sign it, wanting your autograph, you know, because you might be the first American they ever saw in their life. And for, you know, firsthand, they're out on the street, they're walking around in their town, you know. So it's a little different comparison there. But one more thing here. A couple of study aids here. Well, I talked about those men at the temple. You know, one minute there's one bad mouth, and then the next minute you're talking to one, you're sharing the gospel with one with a Bible in his hand. So it's, that was one note here. But I think the first day, well, the first town they took us in jail that day, and it just happened to be one of the leaders' birthday that day. I don't want to mention any names, but it was funny because things were really going awry, and we were just, our plans were all mixed up, and we're wondering what we're going to do the next day, and it was somebody's birthday, so we were kidding him about a happy birthday, you know, and here we are sitting in jail over in India, and nobody has control of anything but God. And in that hospital, it was also a college where many of the students at the hospital spoke English. So it was the perfect place to distribute a lot of the material we had in English, and we gave out an awful lot of family radio CDs also with all the programming on and the pamphlets. And otherwise, we don't know what we would have did with them. And but throughout this trip, I have to put some emphasis on the fellowship and the praying. As I said before, it seems to be more intense. It seemed like we've come to trust God in a greater way because of these circumstances. And our Bible studies and all were, we were just more serious about things than when there's nothing going wrong. So we thank God constantly, and we prayed constantly for His leading and all, and help in all of these situations. And everything was fine, you know, everything was fine. Through it all, it wasn't the way we planned the trip to be, but it was a good trip. It was a good trip. And we were in Pune, and they didn't want us out passing the material, but one of our members went out one day. I made a little note of this. And he took his Bible, and he was on a street corner, and he was reading the Bible in English. And they don't understand English, but a little group gathered around him on a street corner, and as he was preaching and reading the Bible mainly, they grabbed a young boy walking by that they knew spoke English. So, like a 13-year-old boy, they grabbed him and they pulled him over, and they made him interpret what the reading of the Bible to them. So, you know, God worked in so many different ways. So we could only assume that, you know, they used this little boy to interpret what one of our team members was reading. And the whole time there's a gathering around him of men listening to the Bible, listening to the gospel being preached to them with a little boy interpreting. And it was a lot of strange situations, but they were all God glorifying. And it was a lot of these little things, you couldn't plan them. You couldn't plan them. We just had to be there and more or less be pliable in God's hands. And in every hotel we stayed at, the staff of the hotel were, they knew what was going on. They saw what was going on. They were all requesting Bibles and everything. So we didn't go where we wanted to go, but everywhere we went and as we went along, God's word went out, and it seemed like we just had enough of everything for everybody along the way. And I'm trying to see here if I can speak on something else. I think I about covered what I have on my notes here. So I'll just have to ask if you have any more questions. Sure. Tony? I'll do my best.
I was wondering what you would see, you know, the missionaries, and was that different, you know, what you did in the morning, and was that different in India than on your other mission trips?
No, we try to go with the same usual format. We'll have breakfast in the morning. The teams will be picked, and we'll get each team will be assigned their specific area in the city, and we would normally go to that location first. And India was no different, because last year, basically every trip is the same. You try to start with that same format of going out as teams. And if feasible, you can come back at dinner time. But if not, there's days you know you're going to be gone all day because you're going far out by taxi cab or a train or a bus or something like that. So your day is sort of planned before you leave in the morning. But it's usually three or four person teams, depending on the amount of men and women on the trip. Because there will always have to be a man with one of these teams. And that's why they even prefer two men to one woman on these trips. Because a woman is never to go out alone or even two together, you know. But not always for safety reasons. Just, you never know. You never know. But no, India is basically the same as anywhere else. There's that basic format, I guess you want to call it. Sally?
You said you sat in jail. How long did you sit in there? Or was it just for a brief time? Or?
Well, that first town in Sartara, most of the afternoon. And then they took us back to the hotel in that paddy wagon in the pictures there, you know. And even when there was big delays like that, it always something would happen where somebody would show up and request Bibles or materials.
You weren't actually in a cell, were you?
No, not in a cell.
Okay.
They just put us in a room all together and really trying to figure out what they were going to do with us, you know. And they were trying to do everything as peaceful as possible. So we have to believe that the police were doing what they were doing for our protection, because they didn't want any trouble themselves that they couldn't handle. So, but that gospel went into the police stations and the jails and everything, and otherwise it may never have. So.
Was the temperature, was the climate quite good? Or?
It was comfortable. It was maybe 80s, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't all that bad. Yes?
Did you get any sense of that? Usually they're very hospitable people who will invite you into their homes and celebrate those holidays with them. Did you get any kind of sense about those holidays going on, their religious festivals at all, or you just were not brought into that at all?
No, but I think politics had a lot to do with a lot of this. It was the election time coming up or something like that, so they figured that they were just trying to show some power amongst themselves. the people themselves were really gracious and nice. So it wasn't the people at all. It was just the fundamentalists of this group that maybe trying to flex their muscles and show they had more authority than the other party because of the election coming up or something like that.
You didn't plan to go at this particular time because of those religious...
No, not this... I don't think so, but I have nothing to do with the planning, so I couldn't really tell you. Maria.
I know that in previous trips, the group has invited people that they met on the streets to come to their hotel to have a Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the chance to have any Bible study with some people that you invited, maybe?
Yes, and that was another good thing about it. There was quite a few people coming to the Bible studies. The people that we came in personal contact with seemed to be very sincere and very hungry for the Word of God. And some of the pictures there that I brought, you can see the group pictures in the room where one of our team members will be given a Bible study or something. And we had Bible studies every day. And they grew wherever we were, even for the few days. There'd be a few would come at first, but every day we had quite a few. I mean, not a whole lot, as you can see by the pictures, but there may be 20 of people that we met and told and invited to come. So those that came to these Bible studies in Kuala Lumpur, for one thing, when they know that we were on the... Well, we weren't really welcome. So these people that attended these Bible studies, we should really try to keep them in prayer because they really had to show some courage to come out and come to these Bible studies because of everything else that was going on. They were really taking a stand for what they believed in by coming to hear the gospel. Because we're leaving. We're getting on a bus and going, but they live there, so who knows... what kind of persecution they may be in for. You know, we truly believe God saving people on this trip. And we left the hostile land, but they have to live in that land. So we pray that God saved many on this trip and raised them up to continue to spread His word. But even for them living there, it would even be harder, possibly for them, than it was for us. Because they can't just jump on a bus and go. So wherever God's people are in these towns that we visited and we took the word to, when they got saved, some of His elect, and maybe they received their calling on this trip, they're not going to have a bed of roses. But we know our Lord can use them to for His word in these cities. So, yeah, there was quite a few, and there was the Bible studies are really nice and quite friendly. They were blessings every day. Sure.
I just have this mental image of Is there cows walking around in the streets over there? I can't even picture what it's like. Are the houses, the regular houses in a neighborhood, is there cows walking down the street, or what's it like?
Yeah, there's a lot of cows walking in the streets.
I mean, are they considered gods, right?
Some are. There are so many gods, it's hard to believe. It seems like they don't kill animals, but there's... from dogs to pigs to goats to cows, just walking through the streets, just they sort of go whatever they want, do whatever they want, nobody bothers them. There's some pictures there of some of the animals, and a lot of those scenes, they're just common scenes. And I know last year back in Mumbai, they must worship the cows or part of their religion because... they'd be feeding them straw and giving the, I don't know, I guess they are worshipped even as considered one of their gods, the cow itself. But the other animals, I don't know. But there's animals all over the place. They don't seem to bother them. They just live in with the people. The houses, no, they're far from normal houses like here. There are a lot of people, they're just living in shacks, or it's just one room and it's dirt floors, and then they don't have the conveniences. They don't have running water or anything like that. It's a very, it's very unsanitary conditions that they live in all over the place. Now, maybe in the bigger cities where they might have a job or some factories or something, it looks nice downtown, but when you get around the outskirts of these towns and see the poverty, they're not a very, it's a lot of sadness. India is only my second time there, but it's sad to see the living conditions and things like that the people have to live in. Nothing like we have at all. So by bringing them the gospel, like, that delivers them from all of that. God truly saves these people, whether they're poor or living in the dirt shacks and all, and for them to receive salvation from God, well, what does it matter? You know, we're only here temporarily anyhow, but it's sad. It's sad to see some of the things you see, and you don't even like to take pictures of it, but when you're there, they're very impoverished, and the living conditions are not good at all. And in the cities it looks like it is, but anywhere out of a big city where there's no work or anything, it's just poor. They're living in shacks on those sugarcane plantations. I have some pictures of them. It seems like they'll just build a tent out of that sugarcane and live in that and move along as they harvest the crop. You know, it's not good. They're very poor, and it's. Anybody else with anything?
Tom, how many trash do you think went out?
150,000. Yeah, and really the target was 200,000. The trips usually start with that as a target figure. And usually you'll go to, if everything is fine, you'll always have a printer ready to print up another 50,000 or so within a couple of days' notice if you know you're going to need them to go to that amount. So all in all, it wasn't that bad. And they were stored there somewhere. And some will still be being distributed. And if we go back there again, well, we don't know. It wasn't not everyone went out, but considering the circumstances, that was quite an amount that went out for the amount of time we had to be out distributing was very limited compared to distribution on other trips, I mean. So I couldn't help but think about, we talked about this a little bit last week, Chris and I, and he couldn't help but think about the Apostle Paul. So does anybody else have any questions? Or if you look at the pictures or want to ask me anything about any of the pictures after we close here, that's fine too. Anytime you can ask me anything. But I just had to look up a little bit about some of Paul's experiences here, and going to Acts chapter 13, verse 49, I'll start with. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet again against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with the joy and with the Holy Ghost. And we know as we read through Acts, we'll see many instances like that. But what these scriptures say was actually the case a lot of times on this trip. And even within our prayers and supplications to the Lord in thanksgiving, it was a very meaningful trip. was a very meaningful trip. And we have to pray for the people to receive God's word. And all we did was take it there. And we know our Father will give the increase. If there's anything else, I'd like to close with a little word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for how great you are.